Hello and good morning, Stavanger Lutheran Church. Good to see you today, June 6th. It is the second Sunday after Pentecost. We'll begin with a few announcements. If you see in your bulletin, we have some announcements posted there. We have our church board meeting on Monday, 7 p.m. Also have the Stavanger Church softball game at De Lagoon Park. That's Tuesday at 6:30 p.m. We have our Bible study, weekly Bible study, in person or virtual, over at Shady Oak. If you need a link, just contact me. I'll provide you with the link. We meet every Wednesday at 7 p.m. We also have the Board of Christian Education meeting Thursday at 7 p.m. Got the offering plate in the entryway. There's also the Deacon Care Fund offering, so you can see that on your way out. So on a note of celebration, we congratulate Caleb and Sarah Larson on the birth of their beautiful and healthy baby boy, born Friday, June 4th at 12:18 p.m. The baby 6 pounds, 10 ounces, and 18 inches long. So we congratulate Caleb and Sarah. On another note, we do have a prayer request from Jerry Thompson in regards to Barb Thompson, who is being treated for throat cancer. So we will be praying for Barb Thompson. Are there any other announcements from the congregation? Well, let us hear the call to worship from Psalm 130. Out of the depths I cry to you, Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to my cry for mercy. If you, Lord, kept a record of sins, Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness, so that we can, with reverence, serve you. I wait for the Lord. My whole being waits, and in his word I put my hope. I wait for the Lord more than watchmen wait for the morning. More than watchmen wait for the morning. Israel, put your hope in the Lord. For with the Lord is unfailing love, and with him is full redemption. He himself will redeem Israel from all their sins. I'd like to invite the congregation at this time, as you are so able, to please rise as we worship in song.
One with his rising, freed and God's praise we sing. Baptized in water, sealed by the Spirit, marked with the sign of Christ our King. Born of one Father, we are His children. Joyfully now God's praise we sing.
Congregation may be seated, and we'll sing the first two verses of Children of the Heavenly Father and invite the baptismal parties to come forward.
Such a refuge here was
day. We are here to witness the baptisms of Elijah and of Pasha and welcome them into God's family. Let us hear what the scriptures say about the glory of God's creation. In Psalm 8 we read, "Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory in the heavens. Through the praise of children and infants, you have established a stronghold against your enemies to silence the foe and avenger." Let us also hear what the scriptures teach about our sin and the redemption provided by God in Christ Jesus. "Through one person, sin entered the world and was passed on to all people. Because of sin, death came on everyone. Therefore, all are under the condemnation of sin and fall short of the glory of God. But God sent another person, His Son Jesus Christ, into the world to die for our sin. Through His death, He atoned for the sin of the whole world so that those who believe in Him are delivered from death and declared righteous and given eternal life." Let us now hear the Lord Jesus and His invitation to the little children to come to Him. In Luke 18, it says, "People were also bringing babies to Jesus for Him to place His hands on them. When the disciples saw this, they rebuked them. But Jesus called the children to Him and said, 'Let the little children come to Me, and do not hinder them. For the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it.' And He took the children into His arms, placed His hands on them, and blessed them." It says in Mark 10. So therefore, in order that these children, who are by nature sinful from the time of conception, may see the kingdom of God, into which our Lord Jesus Christ Himself has said that none can enter unless born of water and the Spirit, we will now, in the name of our Lord Jesus, receive them through holy baptism into Christ's believing church, that they may have a part in His salvation as He Himself promised when He commanded His disciples to baptize and teach.
Jesus said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." Matthew 28. The congregation, I invite to please rise and let us confess together our Christian faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. It's printed on the bulletin insert which you have. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, from whence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Congregation will be please seated. Pastor Giovanni, Diana, will you have Pasha to be baptized into this Christian faith?
Yes.
Luke and Sarah, will you have Elijah be baptized into this Christian faith?
Yes.
And I'll ask all of you, will you make every effort to provide a Christian home for your child and to support him or her with love?
Yes.
And will you give Elijah and Pasha access to the worship and teaching of the church so that in mature years he and she may come to a mature commitment as Christ as his Savior and as her Savior?
Yes.
And will you seek God's guidance and strength to live your lives as good examples for your child's spiritual, mental, and physical development?
Yes.
Very good. All right. Can I trade you?
Yep.
Are you, all right. Right here. All right. Oh, yes. And here we have regular old water. Straight from the tap. But with it, we have something that is not regular or common. We have God's Word. And together with water and His promise, this is God's work in holy baptism. Elijah Scott, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. All right. Pasha Maria, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Oops, it's okay.
Here it is.
Thank you.
Let us pray as Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. If I could have a hand on both. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen.
Amen.
Now, may I have this privilege? Let's see if can we. Yeah. Okay.
She's hungry.
All right. It is my distinct privilege and honor to introduce to you the newest members of Stavanger Lutheran Church. Good luck to you. Okay, and now we're going to hand off while things are still going well. Thank you. All right. And from the church, ladies, here we have a quilt. Yeah, for each of you. Yeah.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. I don't know who's going to take this one. And a few more things. Here we go.
Thank you.
There you go.
Thank you.
All right. God bless you all. Grab your seats.
Thank you.
Paul writes in Galatians 3:27, "For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ." Amen.
Oh, thank you for that. Beautiful. Yeah. Want to take some time to offer up our prayers. Any prayer requests from the congregation? As I said in the announcements, we'll be praying a praise for Caleb and Sarah and their new baby. There's also Jerry and Barb Thompson who we'll be praying for. And we'll be praying for Audrey. Yeah, we see her here today. Thank you. Yeah. Okay, let's pray. Holy Father, we come to you now in the name of our Lord Jesus. And we remember what a privilege it is to gather in your name, to be together as your church, to hear your word, both law and gospel, words that would convict us and words that would encourage us and give us hope. Lead us this day, Lord. We turn to you. We offer up our praise. We give you our anxieties and our worries as we sit still before you to receive, Lord, the grace that you pour out. And thank you for the baptisms today and the welcoming of new members, of new people into your household. We pray that all people who come to you will be saved. Lord, we lift up those today who carry the burden of sickness, carry the burden of the troubles that we have in this world. Lift up our sister Audrey, and we mourn with her in her times of suffering. Lord, we also rejoice with her in the hope that we have, knowing that you are our salvation. And we wait for you. We patiently wait for you, Lord, and the deliverance that you bring us. As we carry these burdens, carrying our cross in this life, Lord, we know that you can give us peace. Peace not as the world gives, but you have overcome the world, Lord. And so we thank you, and we find strength in your name. Lord, we celebrate with Caleb and Sarah as they welcome their new baby today. We offer up a thanksgiving and praise. And Lord, pray for this church that we might have open heart, Lord, and ears to hear the message that you would have us to hear, Lord. May we lay aside everything that tangles us and burdens us, that we might sit at your feet and receive your word, Lord. Pray for Pastor John as he delivers this message today. Lord Jesus, may your name be praised. Amen. Pastor John, would you...
As you're able, I invite congregation to rise for the reading of God's Word. From 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 13 through chapter 5, verse 1. The Apostle Paul writes, "It is written, I believed, therefore I have spoken. With that same spirit of faith, we also believe and therefore speak. Because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus and present us with you in his presence. All this is for your benefit, so that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. Therefore, we do not lose heart, though outwardly we are wasting away. Yet inwardly, we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes on what is, we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Now we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven, not built by human hands." This is the word of the Lord. You may be seated. Let us pray. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. For you are our rock and our redeemer. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm waiting for a puff of breeze to come and blow these pieces of paper off the pulpit. Now that I've said it, it shouldn't happen, right? Thirty years ago this summer, my bride and I spent our honeymoon, most of it, in a tent in the Boundary Waters canoe area. One of the sites we were at, we spent a couple nights at as we canoed and portaged and canoed and portaged. Our idea of a good time at that time. And these campsites in the Boundary Waters, if you've never seen one, they're fairly rustic. There's a flat space to pitch a tent, a fire ring, a picnic table, and on a little trail off somewhere, an outhouse with the best view of anywhere. It's not actually a house. It's just the out little box on the ground. And so that was our accommodations, which is great. But the one site we stayed at, it started to rain, and the flat spot is actually where the tent is. It's not actually flat. It's actually a slight depression because it gets compacted with use, and it serves as a nice collection vessel for rainwater. And after a couple of nights of the on and off rain, the sleeping bags, the tent, everything was getting a little bit soggy, and it wasn't good enough weather to move on, so we had to spend another night and ended up pitching the tent on top of the picnic table with the canoe propped against a tree over it to shelter us from the rain. The tent we live in. Paul talks about our bodies as a tent. A tent is a temporary structure. It's a kind of a makeshift thing. Well, some people maybe spend most of their lives in a tent as nomads in desert areas. Most of us like to be in a more permanent structure with a few more comforts if we have a choice. You look at tents, they're often the dwellings in refugee camps, places that aren't normally looked at as desirable. Not a place you want to stay any longer than you need to. The people of Israel lived in tents as they wandered in the wilderness. They weren't yet in their permanent home. It was a temporary place to live while God instructed them on what it is to be his people and live by faith. Even their place of worship was a tent, the tabernacle, while they were in the wilderness. This tent, Paul refers to our body, it's not our permanent dwelling. Because of the sin mentioned in the baptism service, the sin which brings corruption on this earthly body, this tent won't last. It will wear out. Some of us feel that on a daily basis. We don't see that in a newborn. We see new life. Beautiful creation of God. But we know what happens to babies if they're allowed to live long enough. They start looking like the rest of us, and they end up in the graveyard like the rest of us. And so Paul reminds us that this tent that we're currently living in isn't our permanent home. But he also reminds us that there is a permanent home, one made by our Lord Jesus Christ. And that is why we baptize. Because Paul writes also in Romans chapter 6 that the death that Jesus died for our sin to reverse the effects of this decaying tent, and his resurrection are that which we are joined to in holy baptism. Paul writes in Romans 6, "Don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. If we have been united with him in this death, his death, we will certainly also be united with him in his resurrection. For we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body of sin might be done away with. We should no longer that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been freed from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin once for all, but the life he lives to God. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer the parts of your body to sin as instruments of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer the parts of your body to him as instruments of righteousness. For sin shall not be your master, for you are not under law, but under grace. Been joined with him in his death and resurrection. He says, Paul writes in 2 Corinthians that we are being renewed day by day. Even though our eyes can only see the outside, Paul declares to us something that our eyes can't see, something that we receive by faith, something that God's word reveals to us, that God is at work doing something on the inside. Without the eyes of faith, what we have just done here is merely a bath, and not a very good one. Just a little water on the head, you know, soap. But with God's word, there's something that we don't see that has just happened. He has begun a new creation. As he writes later in chapter 5, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. God has done something new here. He has started this new building within Elijah and Pasha and all who have been baptized into him. It is something we believe, we receive by faith. Faith that Paul, the writers of Hebrews, if it is Paul or someone else, in chapter 11, verse 1, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. In the Apostles' Creed, we confess to believe things that we cannot see now with our earthly eyes. But by faith, we believe to be true and something we will one day see. Paul acknowledges that this world is full of trouble, even for believers, and perhaps especially for believers. Paul talks in the previous chapter of how he suffered for the sake of the gospel. If you read in the book of Acts, you go not far and you see him being put in jail, mocked, opposed, stoned, left for dead, given lashes, shipwrecked, and on it goes. But Paul calls these light and momentary troubles. How can you do that? Well, they're light and momentary in comparison to what lies ahead. They're not light and momentary in themselves, as are the other trials believers face in this life and the struggles and suffering. They are not light and momentary. They don't feel light. They don't seem momentary when we're in the midst of them. But compared to what is to come, compared to what we do not yet see, this glory, this magnificent brilliance and fame and power of God that is ours in Jesus, that we will be fully realizing in the life which is to come, when we have that permanent dwelling, our glorified, resurrected bodies, such as Jesus had when he came forth from the tomb. Not simply a resuscitated corpse that's subject to decay again, but one that is incorruptible, not capable of decay, of sickness, or death any longer. That is why we baptize, and that is why we preach and teach. That is why we raise our children with Jesus, that they might be raised with Jesus. As is my custom, when before baptizing, we assure that the parents of babies who are being baptized understand that this isn't just a little ceremony, a little magic ritual, a little thing to get done. But this is the beginning of a life of faith, where the Word of God, the seeds of God's Word, are to be sown in the life of that child, so that this Word, which informs us of things that we cannot see, this Word which actually speaks life into our spiritual deadness, might take root in their lives, and they might fully appreciate what they have been given this day, on the day of their baptism, so that in mature years they may know that for which Christ died for them, that they may know it is theirs, an inheritance and a permanent dwelling. There is beauty in this world. We see it in the face of a newborn and in creation and places. But we're always reminded after seeing beauty, we see signs of decay. And so we need to come again and again to hear this word which gives us promise, which gives us hope to move on and to look forward with that, so that we do not lose heart while we outwardly waste away, that we can trust that God is doing something in us that we don't perceive with human senses. Now we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven, not built by human hands. When we first moved to Fergus Falls, some of you have heard about this, we bought a fixer-upper to live in. But we couldn't live in it very well while it was being fixed up. So Tammy and I, as being so fond of tents as we are, we pitched one in our backyard and lived in it the summer while we worked on the house. With human hands, we tore the thing apart and put it back together again. Only to see by now that it's in need of repair. Stuff doesn't stay fixed very long in this life. But the home that we will inherit from our Lord, that's not built with human hands. It won't need repair. He does it right the first time. Most of the things we did on that house, we ended up taking apart and redoing two or three times. And they still fall apart. But not with God. And that is what we receive by the Word, the assurance of who God is and what He has done for us and what He will do for us. And so we receive Him in the Word and receive Him in sacrament, even at His holy table, where we are once again reminded and given the benefits of Jesus' death and resurrection for you and me. We look forward to that dwelling in heaven. And this year for our 30th, we're planning to go for another trip up the North Shore near the Boundary Waters. But this time we rented a cabin. And we look forward to an even more beautiful dwelling than that. Let us pray. Thank you, Lord, for giving us your word that we might not lose heart by what we see and perceive with our senses of this world. And we thank you for the work you have done in Pasha and in Elijah today, and will do as they hear the word in the days and years to come. May you bless them as they grow in stature and in favor with others and with you. May your favor be upon them and upon all of us, Lord, who are found in Christ. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Afraid, God will go with you each hour of every day. Go now in faith, steadfast, strong, and true.
Benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Amen.